The gentleman from Indiana have a motion?
I do, Mr. Speaker. The work of the second session of the 104th Congress has been completed. Pursuant to House Concurrent Resolution 230, as amended, I move that the House do now adjourn.
The question is on the motion to adjourn. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The motion is agreed to. In accordance with the provisions of House Concurrent Resolution 230, as amended, the chair declares the second session of the 104th Congress adjourned sine die.
This afternoon, Speaker of the House Pro Tem Robert Walker of Pennsylvania gaveled the 104th Congress to a close. 2 years ago, on a bright, nearly cloudless January day, when congressional Republicans came to power, they promised to slash government spending, saying it would no longer be business as usual on Capitol Hill. Their critics say it has been just that. NPR's Chitra Raghavan examines the record of the 104th.
Republicans this year have been betwixt and between. Take Senator Mark Hatfield of Oregon, for example. As chairman of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, Hatfield was charged with cutting $53 billion in government spending. It was a task he compared to doing surgery without anesthesia. At the same time, Hatfield knew that as a retiring senator, this was his last chance to push through legislation he cared about. For example, the Local Empowerment Flexibility Act, which was based on an Oregon model. Hatfield had tried but failed to get this passed for 4 years. The bill would allow states and nonprofits to apply for waivers from the regulations that come with federal funds and grants. As a last-ditch effort, Hatfield attached the bill to the massive 1997 omnibus spending package. He also had another pet project tied to that package. It was a bill banning logging on Oregon's Opal Creek Wilderness. The bill also authorizes $15 million to compensate for the loss of jobs from logging. But the budget fight between Republicans and the Clinton administration was so contentious that it was difficult to get anything in, even for a retiring senator, says a congressional aide to the Senate Appropriations Committee. However, says the aide, Hatfield's 30 years of service paid off. The Republican leadership told Hatfield he would get his Opal Creek bill. Knowing there was only so much, Hatfield sacrificed his local flexibility bill, which was controversial, in exchange for a bill that would benefit only his state. Gary Bass is with OMB Watch, a budget watchdog group. He says many Republicans have had to make difficult choices this year.
What we have here is a situation where members are being told to cut spending nationally, but at the same time, if they expect to get reelected, they need to bring money and jobs back home.
And so how have members reconciled those two conflicting mandates?
Well, I think that they ignore the conflict.
In all this year, Mark Hatfield appropriated $250 million for special projects for Oregon. He wasn't the only one. In floor debate this week, Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona complained that the omnibus spending package for 1997 was, in his words, loaded, just loaded with pork barrel projects.
Mr. President, it's common knowledge that as the end of the fiscal year approaches and the Congress is forced to take up omnibus bills that must be passed, that such legislation tends to become a vehicle for every member's pet project. The term heard most often is that the bill becomes a Christmas tree. Well, Mr. President, this bill is definitely a Christmas tree and a glorious one at that.
McCain read page after page of pork. He said millions would be spent on a trust fund for big telecommunications companies, for medical research on brown tree snakes, and for a litany of Defense Department projects, including money for international sporting events. Thomas Schatz is president of the watchdog group Citizens Against Government Waste. He says it'll take months to find all the pork barrel projects hidden in the omnibus package just passed. But earlier this year, in a report titled Pork Alert, Schatz listed 69 questionable projects worth $436 million. However, Schatz says this is a lot less than the previous democratically led Congress spent on pork.
In an election year, there has always been more temptation to bring home the bacon. And while this year is no exception, the dollars that are going out are certainly fewer than in previous years because the overall budget has been cut by $53 billion.
Schatz adds that it's important to acknowledge that the Clinton administration has earmarked its own share of pork, only the administration calls it investments. The 1997 budget bill is $6 billion over the Republican target, largely because of the administration's demands for increased spending for education, environmental protection, occupational safety. These are all areas Republicans had slated for cuts because they regarded these expenditures as needless and misplaced. Overall, Tom Schatz says, Republicans in Congress have shown they're more fiscally conscious than Democrats. But political science professor David Rohde of Michigan State University gives the 104th Congress only partial credit.
I think that this is part of a longer-term trend that really goes back to the early 1980s, when the Congress and the President chose to index the Internal Revenue Code so that there no longer was a guaranteed continuous growth in the size of the federal pie. Politics in Congress really shifted away from its old character and more toward a zero-sum game.
However, Rohde says, though the pie may have shrunk, everyone is still trying to get a piece of whatever is remaining. Only the most ideological purists are utterly unwilling to be involved in anything like this, Rohde says. Rohde says the biggest example of a changing, if not changed, Congress is the 1996 Farm Bill. It made radical cuts to agricultural subsidies, which many have long criticized as pork. But, Rohde says, just to show that things haven't changed completely, attempts to cut peanut price supports failed because of opposition from both Republicans and Democrats, spurred by powerful constituents. I'm Chitra Raghavan in Washington.